I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
8:01 on a Saturday morning. Welcome to Nat's First Pitch. Pete Medhurst with you. Many of you, I'm sure, did not stay up too late last night watching the Nationals out on the West Coast as they took on the Dodgers. By the way, if anybody is seeing Chris Russell, tell him he left a lot of stuff here last night. Walk into my dungeon, which... pretty much, I'm about the only person that really stays in here on a consistent basis, where I work every day with the junkies. And I thought I was going to find a body in here this morning. Let's talk some baseball, though. Over the next hour, we'll recap last night's Nats-Dodgers game. We will get an update on Ryan Zimmerman. He joined Grant and Danny earlier this week. He also had some interesting perspective in terms of, albeit candid, but had some interesting perspective as it pertains to Davey Martinez and the job right now that he is doing, and certainly the job that is ahead of him here with the Washington Nationals. As, you know, look, I mean, as we have said now for the last couple of weeks, field manager gets 25 guys a night that he can put in a ball game that can affect the ball game. You know, obviously a couple of those guys are starting pitchers, so that reduces the roster even more. And Davey Martinez playing the guys that, you know, they believe are major league ball players. And in some cases, some guys are just, as Mike Rizzo would say, they're not playing to the back of their baseball card. Guys that they have given ample opportunities to in terms of, you know, look, we want to see if you're a major league baseball player in the case of a Michael A. Taylor right now. And, you know, it's just for him, it's not happening. And when you lose a Juan Soto, for a 10-day period, that's a huge drop in performance based on the way, you know, Michael had been playing. You know, he's not going to be Juan Soto, but you certainly hope that he turns out to be something a little bit more representative than what he has done so far. Couple that with the pitching exploits that have not been up to snuff. You know, last night, Kenta Maeda, who had been struggling a little bit, you know, coming into the game last night, he four hits the Nationals. You know, Urias gets the save, and it was a real quiet night, quite frankly, for the Nats in the 5-0 loss last night to the Dodgers. Kurt Suzuki, Brian Dozier with hits, Wilmer Defoe of all people. Wilmer's starting to heat it up a little bit, and I don't know if it's, you know, the fact that Carter Kieboom came up and took some of his playing time. And look, I say this all the time at every level when I talk to parents, especially, you know, when a coach benches your kid, it's because your kid's not playing very well. And it's just like this on the major league level. How do you get a guy to play better or at least get his attention? You take his playing time. And in this case, you know, Wilmer Defoe lost a little bit of playing time once Rendon came back. When Kieboom was up here, Kieboom didn't play well. Defoe's back in the lineup now. He had two hits, and his batting average at one point, which was under 200, is now up to 245. So perhaps you get a guy's attention a little bit when you take his playing time. Just like we say in basketball, you take his minutes. You know, since Anthony Rendon has come back, it's going to take him some time to get back into a rhythm. He had such a good rhythm going before the injury. I mean, his batting average is plummeting right now, all the way down to 318 so far. It was up in the high 300s. So for this ball club right now, you just have to take what you can get on a nightly basis. Last night, Anibal Sanchez, 4 1/3. 6 hits, 3 runs. Threw 89 pitches in 4 1/3. Davey Martinez has to go get him. Justin Miller comes in. Then Joe Ross. And then for whatever reason right now, and I don't know if this is Paul Menhart's job to figure out, probably is, but Matt Grace again comes into a game, and unfortunately bad things find him. Throws an inning. 3 hits, 2 runs. Gives up a home run. And right now for him, you really feel for Matt Grace. I mean, it's not an effort issue, you know, with Matt Grace right now. It's just you can't get anybody out. Just can't get anybody out right now. Leaving balls in the middle of the plate. Curveballs that stay up, sliders that stay up, and guys are driving the ball against him. And like we always say, it's never an effort issue with these guys. I mean, I believe every single one of these guys is putting out effort right now. You're just not getting the execution of that effort. And Matt Grace right now seems to be a guy that could probably use, I'm not saying a trip to Fresno, maybe just go down to Harrisburg, keep him close by, because we know how bullpen arms, you know, can be. From time to time, you're going to start to run into some guys with dead arms and everything coming up here. Maybe a 10-day stint on the IL. You bring him back up after he finds some confidence, goes down and works on some things. Because right now, he is just not getting anybody out. It's really that simple in terms of the execution. Eric Fetty came in last night through an inning of scoreless baseball. Now, Eric Fetty's a perfect example of, hey, we gave you a taste. And that taste turned out to be, you know, some sour milk. But here's what you need to go work on. And he's done that. You know, what we've seen of Eric Fetty on the big league level this year has been much more representative of a big league pitcher. It's been more of what this organization had hoped for from him as a young pitching prospect. Now, at some point, does he take the place of an Anibal Sanchez in the rotation? And Anibal Sanchez right now is 0-6, 5.27 ERA. You know, maybe Anibal Sanchez has to go be your long guy right now. The question will be, how long is that leash? And perhaps we'll get an answer from Mike Rizzo Wednesday when he joins the Sports Junkies, because when this road trip is over, this team comes home off Monday and takes on the Mets. So when Mike joins the Junkies, perhaps he can shed some light on, you know, how much longer the leash is for a starting pitcher like Anibal Sanchez, who, you know, you had hoped, you know, certainly for the bargain price, you hoped that you could get the production that he showed last year. But again, right now, this is another pitcher that, unfortunately, is putting Davey Martinez in a huge, huge bad spot. Gets only into the fifth inning last night, which means you have to go four deep in the bullpen. The good news is you've got two more games left in this series, and the names Scherzer and Strasburg are attached to those games. So you're hoping that those guys can go deep into the game for you and reduce the wear and tear right now on a bullpen. It was good to see Joe Ross come in, be effective. You know, his ERA gone up and down here of late. We're seeing a lot more good than we are bad, though. Two strikeouts in the one inning that he threw. I think eventually, I do believe eventually, that eighth inning role is going to be his. But he continues to get more and more comfortable as a reliever. And I don't, unless you go out and talk to some of these guys, go talk to some of these pitchers. When you've been a starting pitcher pretty much your entire career, and then all of a sudden you change into this different role where you pitch every day for maybe 2 days, get an off day, then back again for two more. Usually it's just an inning. Obviously from an approach standpoint, completely different in terms of how you warm up, how you prepare. You know, all of a sudden, hey, you're going in the game, bang, here are the three hitters that are coming up next inning. Oh, wait a minute. Bang, you're coming in right now. Here's a pinch hitter that we didn't prepare for. So much that goes into it. And it's different preparation once you go from starter to reliever at that point. But he seems to be showing the kind of things that you're hoping for in terms of an eventual arm out of that bullpen. Arm talent has never been the problem, never been a question for Joe Ross. And right now you're just hoping that the health can stay for him, because I do believe he has a role out there. And I do believe it's a good one. I do believe it's a good one in advance of Sean Doolittle coming out of that bullpen. You know, he and Bearclaw, those guys have to seize the opportunity of that eighth inning. Because I do believe the way this season is going, what you're seeing right now, I don't believe there is a Kimbrel or anybody like that out on the horizon. I don't have that feel that this organization is going in that direction right now. What you have is what you've got. And I believe that's every now and then you may see an arm come up from the minor leagues or something. Maybe they make a minor deal somewhere along the way to bring in another reliever, as long as they can try to stay reasonably close in this race right now in the National League's Eastern Division. Right now, down 6.5 in the division. Phillies over the Braves by 3, Mets by 3.5. But the good news is none of the teams in this division are really staggeringly getting away from you. And especially right now, when this team just cannot score runs. Soto likely to be back today. Went through a full workout yesterday. Eligible to come off the IL today. So you'll get the young left fielder back in the lineup. That's going to help. It's going to help Anthony Rendon see better pitches. It's going to help Howie Kendrick maybe likely go back to the two spot. It's going to help the lineup drastically having Soto back in it. And perhaps this team can find a way to start scoring some more runs. Because over the next couple of games, when the fact that they have won one game that Max Scherzer has pitched so far this year is just staggering. Because I'm not saying you count on every one of those games when Max is on the mound, but you count on 85% of those games when your ace is on the hill. You count on 85%. I don't think that's an illogical number as it pertains to your ace. You expect to win those games when your ace is on the mound. And right now, this team 1-7 overall in the games that Max Scherzer has started. Even if they break even in these games, break even, that's three more. You know, you're right around the corner from the Phillies in first place. So, I mean, it's hard to watch. It's hard to be patient enough right now with this roster. It's hard to be patient through the injuries. It's hard to be patient through the lack of execution by much of the bullpen at times this year. I know as a fan, it's hard. It's hard. You're throwing things at your TV. You're screaming at your TV. You're shaking your head. Hell, half of you probably just went to sleep last night when you noticed that they weren't doing much against Kenta Maeda, who gave up just one hit over six innings. But now that Soto is coming back, Rendon is back, hopefully this lineup can start to find some things, because as Mike Rizzo, I think, appropriately pointed out, you know, last week with the Junkies, this is a lineup that should be able to get you, when it's right, should be able to get you four runs a night. Should be able to get you four runs a night. That's all you should need. And history tells us when Max Scherzer pitches, you score four runs, you're going to win a lot of games. This team hasn't been able to do that for Max this year. And we saw it even at times last year for the Nationals hurler. If they win probably three or four more of the starts where they either he got a no decision or a loss in like a 1-0 or 2-1 type game, Jacob DeGrom wasn't going to win the Cy Young. Max Scherzer was going to win it because his win total would have been ridiculous. Davey Martinez last night after the 5-0 loss to the Dodgers.
Davey, what'd you see from Kenta Maeda?
He was good. I mean, kept our hitters off balance, worked ahead. Only gave him one hit through six. So, I mean, he was pretty good.
Yeah, it's the second straight start now that Anibal's come out and thrown a lot of pitches in the first. Is that a troubling trend for you, or can that affect the rest of his outing?
Yeah, I mean, we got to start paying attention to that. I look at him, he settles down, and he had 45 pitches in three innings, you know. To me, I watch him, you know. He really threw just two bad pitches all game, and both to Peterson.
What's the I know guys are going to make mistakes throughout the game. Can there be a key to making sure those mistakes don't, you know, leave the yard? I mean, how can maybe missing off the plate or?
He missed his location. I mean, and he knows that, you know. So he's a veteran guy, but he keeps us in the game. You know, today we just, you know, we just couldn't get nothing going with our bats.
Pitch deeper and last deeper in the game is kind of routinely here.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's a veteran guy. Knows, he understands the game, knows how to pitch. I think later in the game, he's got to make his pitches, and he knows that. But like I said, he was really good. I mean, he gave up two home runs, two mistake pitches, the one hit. You know, the guy stole and got jammed. I know. Eden made a heck of a try trying to catch it, so ball got by him.
Is he struggling at all with that one changeup? That's the first home run that he gave up. It seems like maybe the last couple starts here that's gotten hit decently.
He just left. Yeah, I mean, he's been throwing good. He just left that one up.
Would you like just about Joe Ross and Eric Fetty?
They pitch really well, and it's good to see, especially Fetty sitting all game coming in the eighth inning like that. I mean, for a guy that hasn't done that before and come in and throw strikes, we really liked it, you know. And, we're trying to get him out there every other day, and he came out and pitched well, and he said he felt really good. So we'll see how he feels tomorrow.
Peterson has more homers this year than singles. What makes him difficult to pitch to, especially when he has that kind of power?
He's got power. He tries to get the ball up, and right now he's just not missing those pitches.
That's Davey Martinez after the Nationals fell 5-0 to the Dodgers last night. More Dodgers-Nationals baseball coming up today and tomorrow. And then the Nats finally come home. Mets will be in town coming up on Tuesday to start a homestand. Cubs will be in as well over the weekend. So a lot of baseball coming up here in town coming up next week. Two more at Chavez Ravine. Two teams get together. 9-10 first pitch tonight. Great pitching matchup. Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler. And that one, and then, of course, tomorrow you get Steven Strasburg and Injin Ryu, and that'll be a 4:10 first pitch coming up tomorrow afternoon. All the action, of course, right here on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up, Ryan Zimmerman will get an update on the Nats first baseman who's sitting out right now with plantar fasciitis as he was with Grant and Danny a couple of days ago. He'll update you on his situation. He'll also give you an idea about, you know, just exactly what Davey Martinez can do in a situation right now, and he asks a really poignant question about that. Coming up, we'll go around the league as well. Injury to Jose Altuve. Trevor Williams, big in a start last night for the Pirates. It's good for the Churchton Hustlers and fantasy baseball. Jake Odorizzi, Justin Verlander, all very good on the mound last night. We'll give you a look around the league coming up. 8:18, it's a Saturday morning. It's Nats First Pitch right here on Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to Nats First Pitch. Nationals and the Dodgers, 9:10 Eastern tonight, 4:10 tomorrow afternoon. Both games here on 106.7 The Fan. Now, one great thing about athletes, especially guys that become, you know, the notable athlete on their franchise in a city, and they stick around for that entire career. Case in point, Ryan Zimmerman. And Zim, of course, played baseball, you know, at the University of Virginia. Played down in Hampton Roads, was part of that very fertile area of athletes. He was a graduate of Kellam High, more known for baseball, soccer, things of that nature. Didn't have much of a football product down there, as I know from working down there, doing a lot of high school sports. But, you know, Ryan Zimmerman has played his entire career here. And as we have seen with free agency, as we went through this offseason with Bryce Harper, you know, the fact that a guy sticks around in one city, becomes the face of that franchise, more importantly, invests in that city. Ryan Zimmerman and his wife, Heather, have done a yeoman's job through the years of not just playing baseball here, not just taking the Nationals' money and building a nice life for themselves, but they have given back. And Monday night, and Grant and Danny talked about this with Ryan Zimmerman, it's unbelievable to think that their night of baseball fundraiser on Monday night, This is going to be the 10th year that they have done that. And, you know, Ryan is 34 now, so that means he started this as a 24-year-old player for the Nationals. And it's been a tremendous, tremendous night for folks who enjoy, you know, being around some of the players and also enjoy making contributions to the community. Ryan Zimmerman and his wife, Heather, not only have been, you know, he's been a pillar from a player standpoint, but what he and his wife, Heather, have done in the community has been commendable as well. Grant and Danny talked to him about that and, of course, all things Nationals right now as the Nats first baseman on the injured list dealing with foot problems right now.
Big event coming up on Monday night. Danny, I know you will be heavily involved.
That's right. Zim, this is number 10, man. Number 10, A Night at the Park for you. Monday night, tickets available, anightatthepark.com. Dude, can you believe it's been 10 years of these?
Yeah, man. It's crazy how fast it goes by and, you know, how much fun they've all been. And, it's something I'm most proud of, that's for sure.
Well, it is awesome. You guys have raised nearly $4 million giving back for multiple sclerosis research, benefiting families and, all the scientific research and everything else to it. It really is something to be congratulated for. I think this is my seventh just helping you out, doing all the announcements and stuff. Because you host the thing, and I just sort of flap my gums and make sure everybody's sitting down for when the band comes on.
No, come on, man. You always do this. You host the thing, and then I talk for like 5 minutes, and I get all the credit. But you're up there the entire time, and you've been around pretty much since the beginning. And like I tell you every time that you're there, and when I get on stage, we appreciate it. And obviously, it's something that means a lot to you as well. So it's a cool connection that we have.
No, absolutely, pal. And this year, Chase Rice, whose song "Eyes on You" just at number one on the country's Billboard chart. So 10 years, Chase Rice is the musical act. If you got to go back and pick a favorite, if there is such a thing, is there one? To me, when we had to do Third Eye Blind under the bleachers in the rain, you know, that was incredible. Stuff like that is so cool. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I mean, they were awesome. I think I would have loved to see them not in the rain, like on the full stage and everything. I think honestly, you know, they were all great, but my connection with OAR and them being from this area, their performance, I think, to me, they're all my favorites. That might be my most favorite, I guess. I don't want to put anyone else down, but
Danny's
that one was
making you
was
pick
really
which
cool.
Kid's your favorite.
I know, right?
At home.
Yeah.
Thanks
yeah,
to
I,
ask
absolutely.
You that, Zim. Grant and Danny on the fan with Ryan Zimmerman. Let's go to the less fun part of this interview now. You can't help this team. You're like us watching from afar. They're in L.A. You're here at home rehabbing. And the baseball is just tough to watch right now. Errors all over the place, miscues. What's going on, do you think? And what's it like being unable to contribute and help, even if you're just, you know, not available health-wise, but with the team? It's got to be tough to watch this.
Yeah, I mean, it's anytime you're hurt or you can't compete, I think that's the most difficult thing for a professional athlete to do. It makes it a little bit easier if the team continues to win, but when they struggle, you feel even worse about it because you're completely helpless. Unfortunately, right now we're going through kind of a perfect storm of obviously a lot of people being hurt, which has forced some people to do things that they probably shouldn't be asked to do, and they're doing as best as they can. But when you get to this level and you get exposed and you maybe are asked to do some things that you honestly probably shouldn't be asked to do, but there's no other option. This is what happens. And I think they're grinding it out. I talk to them. I try and stay in touch with them when they're on the road. And all you can do is keep going. I mean, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Every night, the other team's going to try and beat you, whether you're 100% healthy or really banged up like we are now. So you just got to do something to kind of keep going and tread water and try and hold on while a lot of us get healthy and then just hopefully get hot when a lot of us come back and get right back into it. That's all you can really do right now. It's not an ideal situation to be in, that's for sure.
Ryan Zimmerman with us here Monday night, anightatthepark.com. Go to zimsfoundation.org to find out more about the great work that Ryan does to benefit multiple sclerosis. So much has been done in the past already, and so much more to be done in the future. And he's led the charge here for folks in the D.C. area. How are you feeling, by the way? What's your timetable? What's going on with you?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, I think I obviously had this in the other foot, I guess, 3-4 years ago now. And, you know, that one was worse. We caught this one earlier. And I think because of what happened last time, we sort of had some information that we might not have had for this one. So we kind of stopped it early before it got too bad. And, you know, it's starting to feel better. I mean, the thing with these is you have to be careful. You can't feel better for a day and then go 110%. And then, you know, 2 days later, you're back in the same spot. So, you know, the reason I stayed back here, I have the team PT here, but I have the, you know, those fancy Alter G treadmills that take the weight off of you so I can stay in shape. And, you know, the thought is as soon as this thing calms down that I can kind of hit the ground running and be ready to go. That was the reasoning for staying back. But, you know, I think right now, like you guys said, we're struggling and, you know, I feel bad not being there with the guys, but, you know, we'll come through, we'll keep going and just got to stay positive, you know, as much as you can and keep grinding it out. And, you know, you got to kind of think maybe at the end of the season when something special happens, we'll look back at this and think of it as one of the craziest years we've ever had.
Nats first baseman Ryan Zimmerman is on the injured list. So is his backup and replacement, Matt Adams. So is Trey Turner. Juan Soto is as well. Anthony Rendon finally got back. Some of the guys that do the heavy lifting for the Nationals have been unavailable. You know, that kind of, I think, forays us into something that we can ask, which is, we are getting calls, as you can imagine, Nats fans all over the joint, looking at the record this year and last year and what the record was before Davey Martinez got here. And they are, at this point, saying, it's time to make a change. I'm curious, just when you hear that, I know you hear that noise, as a veteran who's been around the block, who knows a thing or two about what a manager does or doesn't do, what's your reaction to that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've, like you said, I've played for a long time. So whenever anything like this happens, you know, and I've always said fans have the right to say whatever they want. You know, these are the guys and girls that pay for tickets. You know, they spend their hard-earned money to be fans of our team, and when we don't win, they should rightfully be upset. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, my only question would be, what do you want him to do right now? I mean, you know, he's spot. I mean, we've pretty much used everyone on our 40 man. You can only do so many things. You know, and I've had this conversation with you guys before as well. I think it's always easiest to blame the manager, or blame the hitting coach or the pitching coach, and sometimes it's rightfully so, but they're also the most dispensable and easiest to get rid of. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to the players playing, and they're supposed to play like they get paid to. And, you know, I think throughout the full year, most of us will end up being at our numbers, I think. But, you know, you can't say, oh, it's early, or oh, this, or oh, that. I think there's a legit, you know, time right now where everyone needs to look in the mirror and, you know, myself included and everyone on the team included, all the way up to the front office, and kind of say, you know, this is my job. And from here on out, this is what I need to do. And, you know, injuries are always a part of it. I have to say this is a pretty bad stretch we're going through right now. So there's not much Davey can do. I mean, you can say whatever you want about last year, but, you know, as far as this year, I would just want to ask those fans, what would you want him to do differently that he hasn't done with, you know, with the personnel that he's been given.
Yeah, Zim, you mentioned you've been playing for a long time, since really you came up in 05. Have you ever seen it like this? I mean, you guys, everybody's got injury stuff, and it's happened to you guys before, and sometimes it's been no problem, like in 2012, where you guys ripped off 98 wins with, you know, Tyler Moore hitting 10 bolts and Chad Tracy doing it for you, and, you know, other times it's been a setback. But can you remember any time where it was like this, where all you guys, as Grant mentioned, were on the injured list? Now, I'm still not used to saying injured list, by the way. It's disabled list.
But yeah, it's hard to say injured list. I know. It's, you know, it's one of those things nowadays. You just got to roll with it, you know.
I know.
But yeah, it's I can't think of anything. And especially, you know, Trey, obviously, with the hit-by-pitch. Anthony, with the hit by pitch, Big City with, you know, a dive, I guess, is a little bit more normal, but, you know, basically what they're considered as is traumatic injuries, you know, something not soft tissue injuries, not, you know, things that can technically be blamed on the medical staff. These are things that you can't really train or do anything to prevent. They've just happened. So bad luck, I mean, I guess is the biggest thing. But like I said, a lot of teams go through it. We're not looking for excuses. I think if you ask anyone in that clubhouse, they would say the same thing. The game goes on. The season goes on. You got to somehow find a way to have a good four-game series in L.A. It's a really tough team and kind of tread water, come home, have an off day. You know, hopefully get some of us back pretty soon after, during, or after this homestand, I would think. And then, you know, got to take that positive momentum from getting your guys back. And then we put ourselves in a position where we're going to have to make some kind of crazy run. And, you know, the good thing is if we get healthy and we get back on the field, I think we have the team to do it. You know, it's not early, but it's not after the All-Star break either. So you can definitely make up some ground. And the other plus is nobody in our division is really 10 or 12 games over 500. I mean, we're not right there, but it could be a lot worse than it is.
Ryan Zimmerman on Grant and Danny. You mentioned that off day on Monday, and that'll be the night of the event. For people that want to make any kind of contributions and help out the Zims Foundation, obviously zimsfoundation.org, you can find details. What would you tell them? What do they need to know?
Yeah, I mean, the website zimsfoundation.org has a ton of information that kind of shows you what we do, you know, all the events, how long, kind of the story about my mom and our family. So the easiest way is to go there. I think there might be a few tickets left. I'm not sure if we've cut it off yet, but, you know, this year has been great. We've had more response ticket sales and even sponsorships this year. So, you know, every year when we kind of talk about this, I can't thank the community enough. I think I'm very, very lucky to be able to play in the same spot for my entire career. And it just so happens to be basically, you know, 4 hours up the road from where I grew up. You know, me and my wife and our two kids will live here far past the days of me playing baseball. So this community has really become, you know, where we're from, where I consider home, and so many special relationships that we've made with people, obviously through baseball, but I think even now we've met so many people not through baseball. It's special for us to see how much they support us. And you know, it's, you know, I can't say enough and I can't say thank you enough to everyone in this area for allowing me to do what I've been able to do.
So, Zim, the update is only a few VIP tickets left at anightatthepark.com. So, anightatthepark.com, and there are just a couple of those remaining to see Chase Rice, to see Zim, and several of the Nets who are always so kind to donate their time as well. We'll see you Monday, buddy. Appreciate it as always.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me on. Everyone take a deep breath. It'll be okay.
That's Ryan Zimmerman. He's the voice of calm. He's the voice of reason. He's always the voice of calm. That's been the impressive thing. You rarely ever, ever see Zim in a discombobulated, overexcited mode. And I think in some ways, maybe that is to his benefit. And that's how to a player's benefit. There's going to be ups and downs. This team's clearly going through a down right now. But to go in there and constantly turn over tables and throw stuff. And, you know, I mean, sometimes you just got to keep calm. And as he said, and we pointed this out in our opening segment, it's not like the Phillies are running away right now atop the division. They were losers last night in Kansas City. Details on that, and we'll go around the league. Some good pitching performances last night. Trevor Williams, just one run over seven frames for a big win for the Pirates, 2-1. Over the Cardinals in a good pitching matchup with Adam Wainwright last night. Those details and more coming up. It's Nat's First Pitch right here on 106.7 The Fan. Boy, Mother Nature really wreaking havoc on youth baseball and softball and spring sports in general. Killing us. My daughter had a game Monday, canceled. Likely going to get canceled today because the park she plays at, they don't like working on the park fields at all if it rains. But we're canceling. That's it. Sorry. Hell, the other night, they couldn't even put bases down for them. And Monday, it's supposed to rain, so she's probably not going to play Monday either. How about that? I think she's played like three games all spring. So if you're out there today, trudging out there, if you're one of those coaches, volunteers out there today that's working hard to get your field playable, hopefully you'll be able to play and get those kids out on the field and let them have a great experience. Baseball, softball, it's a great game. Get your kids out there. Folks over the Nats Baseball Academy do an amazing job during the course of the season. And, you know, and the great thing about the Nats Baseball Academy, by the way, it's not just athletics. It's a great place for these kids after school, get in the building, have a settled place to, you know, do homework and get help and get the focus that they need to not only learn about the game of baseball, but more importantly, have the academic structure to benefit them on a daily basis to get the job done at their school. And, you know, the Nats, you know, we talk about, you know, Zim's event coming up on Monday. Go to the Zim's Foundation to learn about that. And obviously take some time to learn about the Nationals Baseball Academy. If you're not well-versed on it, you can go to obviously nationals.com and find the link to that and learn all about the different things that they do to help kids in the community. Now, talk about helping your team win is getting good pitching performances. Last night, handful of those around Major League Baseball. Good pitching matchup on paper. Trevor Williams, who, of course, is a member of the Churchton Hustlers and fantasy baseball. We appreciate his contributions throughout the course of the year. And he knew last night he was going to have to be good going up against Adam Wainwright, and he was. 7 innings, 1 run last night, and a 2-1 victory for the Pirates over the Cards.
Really try and bear down with runners in scoring position, especially in a one-run ball game. You know, Adam was throwing great today, and, you know, it was looking like that one run is all we were going to get off of him.
Meanwhile, the Angels beat the Orioles last night. Mike Trout, Brian Goodwin. Boy, you talk about Brian Goodwin has resurrected himself with the Angels. He's played very well since moving over to the Angels a few weeks ago. Cole Calhoun, Trout, and Goodwin combining to go 6-for-13, and they drove in 6 runs for the Halos in an 8-3 win last night over Baltimore. Trout with a home run says the issues he was having at the plate about a week and a half, two, starting to clear up.
You know, it's coming. Obviously, you know, the double tonight and the home run. You know, it's just got to keep it, you know, keep that same feeling in consecutive at-bats. Some at-bats, some pitches, I don't feel it. And I just keep trusting it.
Meanwhile, the Mets and the Marlins last night, New York scored early and often. How early and how often? 8 runs in the first inning. Game over, 11-2 win in Queens last night. New York scored on a wild pitch, an infield single, and a bases-loaded walk. And then Ahmed Rosario hit a grand slam to make it 7-0. Zach Wheeler gave up 2 runs, striking out 11 in the contest last night, and says when you got a big lead, just pound the zone.
Good. Anytime you score runs is good. So, yeah, I mean, it's always a plus, you know, especially for me. You know, I can sort of just, you know, not really put it in cruise control, but not worry so much. You know what I mean? So you just go out there and just pound the zone.
Meanwhile, Matt Chapman homered off of Brad Hand in the bottom of the 12th last night. A's beat the Indians by a score of 4-3. Boston, another team that, again, got out early and got out often. Mitch Moreland hit a 3-run homer and drove in 4 as the Red Sox routed the Mariners at Fenway Park last night, 14-1. Rafael Devers 3-for-5 with a solo shot and 4 runs batted in. Boston has won 3 in a row, and the former Oriole farmhand Eduardo Rodriguez, excellent again for Alex Cora's club.
He's been very consistent in different ways too. You know, he makes adjustments, and you can see him. You know, there's a lot of confidence there for him to go 7. That's great.
Meanwhile, Gio Gonzalez and 5 relievers combined on a 7-hitter as the Brewers shut out the Cubs 7-0 at Wrigley Field. Gonzalez gave up just 2 hits over 5 2/3 innings for his first win of the year. Said he's excited to be back with Milwaukee where he was last year and helping the club.
With the defense we have and the offense, it's been incredible. It's been fun. Again, I'm just happy to put on a big league uniform, and, you know, I'm happy to do it with the Brewers. You know, they've been great to me, and I'm just trying to play my part with this team that's been incredible for me.
Meanwhile, in Phoenix, Ronald Acuna Jr. homered to the top of the 8th inning to lift the Braves to a 2-1 win over the Diamondbacks. Freddie Freeman singled in Atlanta's first run in the 4th. Julio Teheran allowed 1 run, 6 innings. Dan Winkler got the win in relief. Luke Jackson picked up his 3rd save. And for Jackson in that Braves bullpen. He said it was nice to come through after blowing it the night before.
I think the final three, I think it's just, yeah, the pitcher's got a little more adrenaline, hitter's got a little more adrenaline. I think closer the game is, heightens up a little bit, you know. Not saying that any inning is harder than the other, but the last one, I feel like there's just a lot of pressure around it, you know. It's kind of the difference.
I would say there is a lot of pressure. If you don't do your job, you lose the game. In St. Petersburg, Gio Urshela's two-run single in the sixth inning lifted the Yankees to a 4-3 win over the Rays. Now, the Yankees have been in the same exact spot as the Nationals in terms of injuries. Now, their bullpen's been decent. But Gio Urshela, okay? I mean, this has been for his, and there were people coming into the season that had concerns about Aaron Boone, going straight basically from a player, broadcaster, now into the manager's seat. And you have to give him a lot of credit for the way this team has played in light of all of these injuries that have affected this team so far this year. Because if you'd have said with all the different, you know, it's like 14 or 15 guys, the Yankees are a half a game out of first place now after beating Tyler Glasnow, who lost for just the first time this year. Glasnow's now 6-1. He struck out 9 over 5 1/3, but gave up all four runs. I mean, the Yankees knock him out in the sixth inning with nowhere near their top lineup available. So you got to give, I think the Yankees and what they're doing, this is one of the best stories in baseball so far this year. I mean, this is a team that would have plenty of excuses based on the people that have been available. And the fact that, you know, they're able to continue winning without a lot of their regulars, and they're doing, I mean, they got a plus 35 run differential. I mean, that's a team that's scoring runs. It's not like they're plus 5 or plus 6 where they're just getting by on a nightly basis. They're getting the job done. Adam Ottavino, tremendous acquisition for that bullpen. He has been so good. Zach Britton starting to look like his old self as a member of that bullpen. And Britton said, you know, hey, that's one of the strengths of this team is they have a really deep group.
I think we may have got somebody warmed up like towards the end, but that just shows you the confidence that everyone has in him to get out of that situation. And we're going to need everybody over the course of the season. So it's nice to be a part of a, you know, really deep group.
And right now, as I said, just a half game behind Tampa in the American League East. Red Sox 4 back at 20-19. In the Central, Twins, of course, have been a great story. How about, can you name the Twins manager? I mean, I could probably walk into any baseball stadium in America except where Minnesota plays at home and probably ask people who consider themselves better than average baseball fans, do you know who the Twins manager is? That's Rocco Baldelli, the former Tampa Bay Ray. Twins are 24-12, 4.5 clear of the Indians right now in the American League Central. Houston starting to assert its dominance. Justin Verlander was brilliant last night as they have not only caught Seattle, who got off to the great start in Japan and played well over the first couple of months of the season, but Seattle starting to wobble a little bit, and the Astros are up 5 all of a sudden on the Mariners. Angels got off to a terrible start, but they are starting to right the ship a little bit more. They and the Rangers are 5.5 back. Oakland's already 6.5 back of the Astros in the division there. So we mentioned in the East, Phillies losers to Kansas City last night. And they have a 3-game lead over the Braves. Mets are 3.5 back. And the Nats, look, Ryan Zimmerman said, hey, you know, they got to put together a tremendous run. But they, you know, 6.5 is not insurmountable. I mean, you're 10-11 back this time of the year. Yeah, I think you're done. Barring something crazy. 6.5, not insurmountable. If this team can play better defense and get its full lineup together and hit like they're supposed to. Central Division Cubs have been on a nice roll. They and the Brewers tied for first in the division right now. Cardinals 1.5 back. Pirates 3.5 back. And in the West, Dodgers 3 up over the Diamondbacks and 4 up over the surprising Padres so far. Rockies have been disappointing. Still 6.5 back, 2 games under 500 right now. I think everybody kind of figured the Giants are what they thought they were going to be. 8.5 back right now in the National League West. And look, I mean, if you're a baseball fan in Miami, San Francisco, Kansas City. Kansas City's 11.5 games back already in the Central Division. You talk about a team. They remind me of the Marlins a few years ago. They go to a World Series, and then all the good players are gone. Wouldn't sign them. Moustakas, Hosmer, my man Lo Kane playing in Milwaukee. Lorenzo Kane, probably my favorite non-Washington Nationals player. Gone. See ya. We're not going to invest. Thanks for the memories. Appreciate you. We're happy to be 11.5 back right now. Strange thing about that is Royals are only a -8 run differential, but they're in last place. Athletics, -6, last place. So some nights you score runs, some nights you don't. Plain and simple. That'll do it for the show this week. Back again next week with another edition of Nasford's Pitch. Stay tuned. You've got Andy Pollin, Tom Lavero, Nick Ashew in for Tom again this week. It's coming up. Our thanks to Jim Jester. Thanks to Grant Danny's great interview with Ryan Zimmerman. Nats first pitch next week. Nats tonight, 9:10. Max Scherzer, Walker Buehler right here on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.